Welcome to the Sportscast, September 7th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net. The Oakland Raiders have released Antonio Brown effective immediately after a series of events this past week. He loses his $30 million guarantee. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about Antonio is Kailu Borden. Kailu, Sportscast is all yours. What's going on?
Antonio Brown, in less than 6 months in Oakland, has refused to play over helmet. Then he filed a grievance. Then he threatened to retire. He had a verbal altercation with the general manager. He was nearly suspended, and he got released. So, obviously, a lot's been going on. Antonio Brown is one of the most talented receivers in the history of the NFL, obviously. And I just think it's a situation where he's losing control of himself. He's obviously very talented, and it sucks to see him because it's in a spiral. Obviously, it didn't work out in Pittsburgh, sort of ends the thing. And it's just a situation where in the locker room, in Mike Tomlin's locker room, where they just allowed him to do too much. And then when he got to the Raiders, you know, they didn't allow him to do as much. And there was just, you could see that there was just no discipline in the Steelers locker room. It's okay to have a player's locker room, but this is just a result of having no discipline in the locker room. And the Hard Knocks thing, when they do the Hard Knocks with the HBO, that was all, I thought that was all playing for cameras.
Yeah, that's something that I actually kind of find out right now. I had no idea about that situation in Pittsburgh. I thought Pittsburgh would be a little bit more organized than the Raiders. But, yeah, can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, I guess Mike Tomlin didn't have much of a discipline rules right in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I thought that Mike Tomlin, he's a really good coach. He wins a lot of percentage of his games. But when you have a player's locker room, I mean, Big Ben, he does his own radio show weekly, where they call out players. There was just no, like, I mean, the Steelers are very tight-knit. They don't really fire their coaches. Mike Tomlin's a really good coach. But there's some things that he let, you know, go under the rug, like showing up late. And Antonio Brown was never disciplined for it. So when you go to another team and they don't allow it, a lot changes. And when you're already a veteran, you've been in the league and you're as accomplished as he is, it comes tough to control. And then you're going to an organization, the Raiders, who aren't necessarily the most stable organization themselves. John Gruden's coming out of retirement, doing TV for the 10 years. Mike Mayock was at the NFL Network. So it's just really tough when you go from one situation, which Pittsburgh is really stable. They don't really fire their coaches. So, and then you go to another organization, which is a totally opposite on the spectrum. It's just really tough.
Yeah, kind of, you know, it's quite the irony when it comes to Oakland, because Oakland is an organization where you see a lot of the, I guess you could say, wash-ups, a lot of the, like, the players that go there that they've played already. They're kind of at the end of their prime and everything else. And when the Steelers were kind of like trying to shop, you know, try to get rid of Antonio Brown, there was not much interest except for the Raiders. And they got a good deal with him with a few trades and everything else. Now that the Raiders don't have Antonio Brown, how do you think the Raiders are looking for this season?
I thought they were already a 4-12 season. I thought Derek Carr was going to have a good season, but I still don't like their defense. I don't know how John Gruden, when you've been out of the industry for 10 years, and especially football, a lot has changed. You got a general manager who don't even know, I don't think he knows what he's doing just yet. And I think that you are still going to have a tough, because you're still in the division with the Chiefs and Chargers. So I thought they were still going to have a tough season. Obviously, Antonio Brown was going to help, but I didn't think it was going to help to finish more than at least third in the division. So I didn't really see this as it's obviously a huge loss, but I still had them like third or fourth in the division because the Chiefs are going to be loaded and the Chargers is going to be loaded. So even if they lose Melvin Gordon, they're still going to be better than the Raiders. So I still had them like third or fourth in the division.
Yeah, looking at the roster, the one that really stands out, of course, is the quarterback Carr. And then running back Josh Jacobs, he's a rookie. And then you got the Richie Incognito coming in. He's making his comeback. So we'll see what happens with the Raiders. Now with Brown, what do you think will happen to him? Do you think he'll get signed this season by another team, or do you think he might not play at all this season, or maybe he might join the XFL? What are your predictions on with the situation?
I don't think he will play for the XFL, but I'm not ruling it out because Antonio Brown. I think another team will pick him up because, unfortunately, football is the one sport where You could, I mean, they picked up Aaron Hernandez on the roster, knowing that he killed somebody. Football picks up a lot of players with domestic violence. So unfortunately, given what the owners and given that they're not the most progressive league in terms of like social issues and stuff, I do think he'll get picked up because it's unfortunate that the NFL will still pick players up given their past. So I do think that he'll get picked up. In terms of what team, I don't know what teams will be necessarily interested in him because this is all in the last 6 months. Like I said, he refused to play over the helmet. He threatened to retire. He's getting in it with coaches. And he has a thing with Juju Smith where he released the DMs. So obviously there's been a lot of situations of him not showing good with his teammates, with the organization. So in terms of which team will pick him up, I think there will be a few, but I think there are going to be teams that pick him up because it's the NFL. And as long as you're talented, unfortunately, they're still going to pick you up.
How about this? This one guy kind of mentioned it this past hour. The New York Jets reuniting with Bell.
I think a first-year coach in Adam Gase, you left that out in Pittsburgh. I don't know what his relationship is with Le'Veon Bell, but it should be tough for Adam Gase. I mean, Darnold's in his second year. You don't want to put that pressure on Adam Gase. You got a new general manager, Joe Douglas. You released the kid who they drafted in the third round. That was obviously a bad pick by Mike Maccagnan. He got fined over $10,000 in money for showing up late to practice. There were warning signs before that when he was in college. You don't want to really do that. You got a first-year general manager, Joe Douglas, coming over from the Eagles. You got a first-year coach in Adam Gase. Darnold in his second year. Le'Veon Bell is there. You just got him. Why put all that pressure on a first-year coach and first-year general manager? I just don't like the fit.
I do agree, yeah. I think you really explained it really well, actually. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I do agree with you. There might be a team or two that might have some interest. I don't know if they'll give him a $30 million guarantee, but I'm sure there might be like a team like Tampa or Miami or maybe even Arizona. I don't know. I'm just naming some random teams that kind of need some help because Brown could give you how many yards per game, you think?
Yeah, Brown's still one of the most talented receivers in the league. I think that there's definitely going to be some teams that take a fight. It's not going to be for $30 million because he's still trying to fight that. It's going to be more for a veteran minimum. It could be, I mean, it depends. He's an unrestricted free agent, so he can go wherever he wants. He can sign in, I saw, as soon as 4 o'clock. So, I mean, he can go wherever he wants. I think it's obviously going to be what his motives are. Drew Rosenhaus's agent, I think it's obviously going to be what their motives are. I still think there could be a team that, you know, a playoff team that still take a firearm because it's the NFL and unfortunately they take a chance like that. And then some lower end, if he wants to just pad his numbers and play for not a contender, then you're right. A team like the Dolphins, Cardinals could definitely be in play for him.
He will definitely be on the lookout. We'll see what happens. A very talented player, probably towards the end of his prime, I think. But, you know, if a team needs to run a wide receiver, and I'm sure there's a lot of fantasy players that have him on their rosters, I'm sure they'll make a way. It doesn't have to be right at the beginning. It could happen, you know, mid-season. Anything could happen. So, anyways, another big day in contract news and football news. Julio Jones has renegotiated his contract. He has a $66 million extension, which includes a guarantee of $66 million, $64 million of which due at signing. Wow, that's a lot of money. Kailu, how big of a signing is this for the Falcons?
I think it's a very good move for the Falcons. Julio Jones is one of the most productive receivers in the game. I think they obviously had a down year last year because most of their defense was hurt. Vic Beasley was hurt. They had a lot of players out, but he's one of the most productive receivers in the game. So I think this is a huge move for them because you obviously keep him locked up on Matt Ryan, and you still have Calvin Ridley there. You still have Mohamed Sanu there. So, and as long as their running backs stay healthy and as long as Vic Beasley stay healthy, it's a huge year. It's a big year for Dan Quinn as the coach of that team to see what he can do this year because you're still in the division with the Saints. And I was looking at the Panthers' schedule. They have a favorable schedule. So you are in the division. I think this is a big – the Falcons' offense should be strong once again. But we'll see how well their defense is able to play this year, given if they can stay healthy.
Now, was Julio holding out, like not practicing with the team till now?
I don't think so. That's not what I heard. I think that Julio has always been one of the most quiet. You always hear about the diva receivers. Julio is totally opposite, so I don't think that he was holding out.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, he'll be out of shape, and he'll take like a month to get back into a season. Well, he'll probably have his private workouts if he did or not. But anyways, another signing happened yesterday with Tyreek was with the Chiefs, Hill. He signed a 3-year, $54 million extension. He's the most explosive player in the NFL. And this is very good for the Chiefs, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's great for the Chiefs. Obviously, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. We love Patrick Mahomes in the NFL League. So I think it's great for the Chiefs. You still have Travis Kelce. You still have Andy Reid there. So I think that's just really good. You keep the speedster there. Hopefully, the legal stuff is behind them. But this is a really good move for them. You know, Patrick Mahomes is looking to improve on his second full season starting. And the one game he played prior to last season, he's looking to improve on his second full season starting. So I think this is definitely good good to get out ahead before his contract gets more than this, because I think they're going to have a big season again this year.
Pretty exciting for the Chiefs, one of the favorites to win the AFC. One of the comments are people saying, what if Antonio Brown went to the Broncos?
I don't really like the fit, because, I mean, Denver, I mean, you got to – I think their head coach is Vic Fangio. So, yes. I mean, you – yeah, and they have Joe Flacco there. So, I don't really – I mean, if you can catch lightning in a bottle, which you did with Joe Flacco, like when he was with a couple years ago, I mean, you still got Bradley Chubb there and you got Von Miller there. I would personally prefer a team that's more closer to winning. But, I mean, we'll see. Well, Antonio Brown's going to be tough because he's an unrestricted free agent. He can do whatever team he wants. So, again, a lot of it's going to be determined what is his priority. Does he want to go to a team like the Cardinals and just play football and go home and have a 4-win season and be in the top 5 next year? Or does he want to play for a contender? Because there's still going to be a contender interested in him, even with all these transgressions, because he's still very talented. Like you say, he's in the prime of his career, and teams can't hesitate but to see his talent and dream.
Well, there you have it. One of the Bronco fans comment on this. Jalen Hurts had a great opening game for the Oklahoma Sooners. That weekend actually kind of turned out to be a Jalen Hurts weekend. What's your thoughts about his performance?
Very impressed with Jalen Hurts. I thought it was a really good weekend for him. I was really impressed with him overall on the ground, taking command of the offense, 20 for 23, 332 yards, 3 touchdowns. I just felt very confident going to each quarter. Every drive, he got progressively better. We did have 2 turnovers, but that should improve. He had 16 carries, 176 yards, 3 touchdowns. Really looked at command of the offense. I was really impressed with him. I feel like he did a really good job on – he had a couple of throws over 20 yards. Oklahoma did a really good job on third down. So I was really impressed. Hopefully he continues to build on this each game, which I think he will. I think Lincoln Riley called an exceptional game. I think that Lincoln Riley – it's all about player strength, so I think it's good. He really helped Jalen Hurts a lot. He got him a couple early good throws, and then he was able to build on it from there. And then I was really impressed with Oklahoma's defense. I feel like even though we gave 31 points, I feel like I was much more impressed with our tackle in this game. In particular, Kenneth Murray had a really good game for us. Overton had a really good game for us, and I feel like they really set the tone this game. We got a couple penalties that we need to clear up. I feel like our offensive line, as we get more seasoned, last year we had one of the most experienced offensive lines. This year, not so much. They're still talented, but they will give them some time. And I think that definitely Jalen Hurts definitely is going to be back in the Heisman conversation again this year.
Yes, Oklahoma has a few. They play South Dakota today, really easy. Their next big game is against Texas on October 12th. They're a ranked team then, and before that they have Kansas, but that's a basketball school. So we'll see where Oklahoma is at. Let me read you the top schools in the AP poll. First is Clemson, then Alabama, then Georgia, then Oklahoma, Ohio State, LSU, Michigan, Notre Dame, Texas, and Auburn. Auburn went up to 10th, and Florida slide down from 8th to 11th. Do you agree with these poll results?
Yeah, I agree with it, because most of the favorites, I mean, obviously Clemson had a dominant game last week. Alabama started off slow, but they took over from the second quarter. Georgia was really good last week. LSU was dominant, especially on offense. A lot of people gave them a lot of credit. They made a lot of good hires. So I feel like most of these were pretty good. Auburn, I was really impressed with the kid, Bo Nixon, leading that drive. He was able to beat Justin Herbert. That was a really good victory. And so, yeah, most of these, basically all the favorites won last week. So nothing really to be disappointed about, because all the favorites won last week.
Yeah, a couple of big games today, but we'll definitely head into that to the predictions a little bit later on the show. Elmo, the Major League Baseball standings, Yankees are still up top. The Rays are right behind them with 8 games behind them. And the AL Central, the Twins are top, and AL West, Astros. How are your Yankees doing so far?
Really impressed with the Yankees. We're about to get back Luis Severino shortly. That should be good. Dylan Betances is also making progress. We'll see about Aaron Hicks. I'm really impressed with the Yankees. The Yankees are in a great spot at 92-50, even with the loss. The Yankees haven't lost a home series since April 12th. So I'm really impressed with the Yankees. The Yankees are 53-22 at home, 39-28, 7-3 in the last 10 games. The Yankees are going to continue to get more healthy. Their pitching has been great lately. James Paxton is 7-0 in his last 7 starts. Tanaka's been pitching better outside of Oakland. Herman struggled yesterday, but before that, against the Dodgers, he was really good. So we should be getting Severino back shortly. Giancarlo Stanton's making some progress. We got Edwin back. So the Yankees are in great position. And for us, it's about getting our players back for the last month, trying to get home field in AL, and also trying to get home field for the World Series. So we're in great shape.
Wish they play the Red Sox tonight.
Yeah, at 4.
It should be an exciting game. Anyways, anything else before we head into game predictions?
No.
Let's start off with the Yankees at the Red Sox.
Yankees bounce back tonight. I think the Yankees bounce back tonight. They lost yesterday. The offense is very stagnant yesterday. They look to bounce back today.
St. Louis at Pittsburgh.
St. Louis has been playing really good baseball. They're still leading the Central. St. Louis wins tonight.
Kansas City, Miami.
Kansas City and Miami. I'm going to go with Kansas City.
The Angels, White Sox.
I'm going to go with the Angels. Mike Trout has a big game tonight. Go with the Angels.
Cubs at Milwaukee.
It's really tough because the Cubs need to win. The Cubs obviously have struggled on the road in the division. They've also struggled on the road this year. The Cubs are playing in Miller Park. The Cubs need to win. They struggle on the road. But I'm going to go Cubs here. Yu Darvish has been holding down the fort for the team. I'm going to go with the Cubs. Even though the Cubs are struggling on the road, I'm going to go against my grain. Normally, I would pick the Brewers here, but I'm going to go with the Cubs. The Cubs need to win. The Cubs need to keep the second wild card. They need to keep all those teams behind them in the NL. I'm going to go with the Cubs.
Maybe the second best game after the Yankees and Red Sox, the Phillies at the Mets.
I'm going to go with the Phillies. The Phillies need to bounce back. The Phillies, I think the Cubs and Nationals will stay out of the wild card teams, but if the Phillies want to continue to get in that race and creep up, they are tied with the Mets. They obviously lost yesterday in a walk-off walk. A lot of Major League Baseball teams are struggling with their bullpens. Even though the matchup is not really in the Phillies' favor, True Smiley against Marcus Stroman, I'm going to go Phillies. They bounce back. They win tonight in New York, and they make up for last night's walk-off walk by Pete Alonso.
College football, Texas A&M at Clemson.
This is going to be a really good game. I think this is one of the best games in a week other than the LSU and Texas game. I'm going to go Clemson.
And, of course, you mentioned LSU versus Texas.
I'm going to go Texas, even though it's against Oklahoma to do that, but I'm going to go Sam Ellinger tonight. Beats one of the SEC schools. This is a huge game tonight because it determines how many SEC schools are going to be in college football playoffs. I think this is huge because if Texas could do this again, this proves they are for real. They beat Georgia last year in a bowl game, and if they beat LSU, this is huge for them.
This is a true test for Texas.
Yeah, you're right. This is a huge test for them. They beat Georgia last year. This is a huge game for them. I think Tom Herman and Sam Ellinger, this is a huge test for them. They got another SEC defense. This is a show the second year, the first year wasn't a fluke. I think this is a really huge game for them, and I'll definitely be keeping a close eye on this game.
NFL, Ravens at the Dolphins.
I think the Ravens won. Lamar Jackson, I want to see him improve, but I don't think that he would have to improve as much tomorrow. I think you want to see improvement for him tomorrow, but I think the Dolphins are going to be one of the worst teams in football. They're not trying to win. They're starting Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't think it's fair to Josh Rosen. If he's ready, I think he should definitely start him because his first year, he had a terrible offensive line in Arizona. Now he goes and he loses to Ryan Fitzpatrick in the quarterback battle. I think that's a tough deal for a young quarterback. Hopefully he's able to play in the next couple weeks. So I definitely think the Ravens win tomorrow, and I think they should win handily.
Bills at the Jets.
I think the Jets should win this game. If you're really serious about getting a playoff spot or a wild card spot, obviously I think the Patriots are still going to win the AFC East. That's expected. I mean, that's not going out on the limb. But I think that if you want to get a wild card spot, if you want to be 9-7, which you would need in the AFC, you're not going to need 10 wins like the NFC. I think you're definitely going to want this a winnable game. You're definitely going to want to win this game. So I think the Jets and Darnold's second year and Adam Gase's first season with Joe Douglas at the helm at the general manager, I think they definitely should win this game. Le'Veon Bell's first game, I think you should win this game.
Pretty interesting team. All eyes are on the Jets. See what happens with that talent. Giants at the Cowboys. Divisional matchup.
I think the Cowboys should definitely win this game because, let's face it, you got Zeke Elliott back. He's got his deal. You have a good defense. Your offensive line's back. They signed Leo Collins, the right tackle. Travis Frederick is back, the center. So you're healthy. You got Jalen Smith. You signed him, the linebacker. You got all your team back. So I think you should definitely win this game. The Giants shouldn't be that great this year. They don't have a defense. You're in Cowboys Stadium. You're with Jerry Jones. I definitely think you should be able to win this game.
Steelers at the Patriots.
I think it's going to be a tough game. It's a Sunday night football game. But I think the Patriots win. Even though it goes against conventional wisdom, they normally don't pick up to November. And a lot of their wide receivers are healthy. But I think they find a way to win this game with the running backs. I think the Patriots have like a lot of good running backs. So I think they definitely find a way. And they use the running backs as wide receivers. Demaryius Thomas is hurt. And they got a lot of receivers hurt. So I think this is where they use the running backs, they get creative, and they find a way to win.
Broncos at the Raiders, Monday Night Football.
I think the Broncos win. There's too much dysfunction going on in Oakland. I don't think Oakland's going to be as focused. They got, if Antonio Brown takes them to court, their general manager's going to have to respond to for all litigation. So I think they're going to be distracted. I definitely think Bradley Chubb and Von Miller have a huge night. Derek Carr and the Oakland Raiders, as much as they say, they're not going to be distracted. I think they're going to be distracted, and I think the Broncos could definitely pull up a +10 victory because this team's going to be distracted.
Random question. If you had to pick one person to guard Kobe Bryant for your life, would it be Scottie Pippen, Rodman, Michael Jordan, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, or Dwayne Wade?
I'm going with Michael Jordan. You never bet against the GOAT. Never.
That's true. It's really hard to pick which one. People say Michael Jordan would be good pick, but he kind of saves his energy towards the offense. But if it did for his life, I think he will be a great defender. One, Scottie Pippen, bring him up a lot. And then of course Kawhi Leonard. But who would your top three be?
It would be my top three would be Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. I would put Scottie Pippen, and then the third one will be Kawhi Leonard because he has those huge, magnificent hands that he can just get in and like pass his lanes, and he would take on that challenge, and he wouldn't make noise about it. He would just go about his business, typical like Kawhi does, and he would have a heck of a game, and he would do it on both ends because he's always wanting to compete. He never takes any shortcuts. So in this day and age where players don't like to defend, I'll have Kawhi Leonard because he'll get a lot of steals from you.
There was an interview with Kobe Bryant, I think this past week or last week, and he said the toughest defender was with Tony Allen, which he played for the Grizzlies a little bit, and also like the Celtics. But before a couple of years ago, he did say Tracy McGrady at one point. So he kind of goes back and forth with it. But who really does know? I mean,
yeah,
Kobe's pretty good.
Yeah, because I think it's tough because, like, Tony Allen, I remember, like, when all those Laker bats, he used to, like, fuster. He's, like, an agitator, like, and it's also T-Mac is, like, 2 or 3 inches taller than Kobe Bryant. So, like, if you're, like, looking for, like, agitating, like, he says Tony Allen, but, like, Kobe's so cerebral, so he has, like, many different, like, defenders. I think, like, when he's talking about, like, Tracy McGrady, in terms of, like, maybe getting by him, like, making a move by him, it may be tough to finish over T-Mac. But, like, if Tony Allen might, like, try to frustrate you and, like, wear you down.
Yeah, it's true. Kobe is definitely up there, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And to find one good defender is hard to say. One person did not bring up was Bruce Bowen. He was also a good defender as well.
Yes, Bruce Bowen. Bruce Bowen's amazing. A lot of those Lakers Spurs battles in, like, the early 2000s, 2007. Yeah, so, yeah, Bruce Bowen is a very good defender. He used to kick his leg out. So, yeah, so Bruce Bowen's a really good defender on those championship teams with Ginobili, Parker. Yeah, I think Bruce Bowen's definitely up there.
One news we did not cover. Well, I think we did, but let me reconfirm. Dwight Howard to the Lakers. Is that something you like, or it's not much of a difference for you?
I think obviously when I saw it, Dwight Howard really left a sour taste in like my mouth in the first thing. But obviously, hopefully, he's coming from a position where he's willing to compromise and he's willing to sacrifice, and everything that he said that I listened to in the press conference matches what he's actually going to do. And I think for the Lakers, that's a non-guaranteed deal. So the moment he chooses that he wants to go otherwise and go south, but the team, we both need each other. Obviously, the DeMarcus Cousins news, tearing his ACL, I think we both need each other. Anthony Davis doesn't want to play center. So I think we both need each other. Dwight Howard is late in his career. He understands that he can't screw up. He's got to take it serious. And if he does, there's the door. So I think that if he takes it serious, if he's willing to sometimes not play, then I think it will work. And if the Lakers are willing to help him, I think Trent Vogel can bring – I think he's still going to pick and roll. He can still block a lot of shots. He's willing to play 15, 20 minutes. He's not going to play much in the fourth quarter because I think Anthony Davis is going to play center. I don't think he wants to play center to like for 30, 35 minutes. But in stretches and bursts, because that's going to help the lineup. You obviously have Kuzma at the four, LeBron at the three. We can play LeBron at the four. So I think that would definitely help us.
Well, there you have it. Kailu, how can people reach you to talk about Dwight Howard?
They can reach me on Twitter at KailuBorden12, and you can also reach me on Instagram at KailuB123.
And you can reach us at thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll be live tweeting, I think, LSU versus Texas today. So it should be a really exciting matchup. NFL begins this weekend, opening on Thursday night. Green Bay defeated the Chicago Bears. Low-scoring game, 10-3. So we'll see. Hopefully it'll be more high-scoring games tomorrow. But anyways, that's it for the Sportscast Saturday edition. Kailu, really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.